Hey, welcome everybody to what I'm going to declare here, a historic day for the Central Connecticut Chambers of Commerce. Right here, right now, we kick off the Jolt Second Cup podcast. If the name sounds familiar to you, that's great. It means all the stress, the post-it notes, trying to come up with a name for a podcast was worth it. All jokes aside, it was a process, but we came up with a name that we think makes a lot of sense. In many ways, this show is an extension of our popular in-person networking event, The Morning Jolt, hence the Second Cup. The difference, besides obviously being a podcast, is that with the Jolt Second Cup, we hope to bring you closer to those who make the Connecticut business scene thrive by getting to know them as people, the issues they face, and the great stories they have to tell. My name is Johnny Burnham, and sitting beside me is my friend, co-worker, and now co-host of a podcast, the one and only Andrew LaForge. Andrew, what's going on, bud?
Good, how are you? I'm excited to get this thing rolling.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I don't know if you're watching It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, I'm thinking like Charlie Day with the big bullet screens and all the strings and the connections, and he's all freaking out trying to figure things out. That's how I felt like when we were trying to figure out this name for this thing. So,
Good. It's also how I felt. So we're in this room we have. We'll call it the podcast studio. It's an extra office we have here at the Central Connecticut Chambers of Commerce. Trying to hook this stuff up. I didn't know if we were going to be a go here today. I mean, you can see there's wires everywhere. There's all sorts of things. Things weren't going. So we almost had to postpone this. But I'm happy to say we figured it out. Technological wizards that we are.
Yeah.
Andrew had to make a couple last-minute purchases.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, we had just got a couple little stops to make things connect and work. Yeah, so it's some sticky wires and tape and things we had to untangle, but man, we got it working.
Yeah, and then we retangled them and untangled them again. But that's how it goes. So I'm super excited, not just to start the show, but for our guest today. So I want to welcome Care Verikas. She just told me how to say her name. Was it close?
You were close. Right. You were so close.
So if you don't know Care, I'd be shocked, because this is seemingly everywhere these days. Whether it's Dusty Dude Woodworks, the Bristol Bazaar, Young Professionals Group, and I think kind of comically, right, like a retired professionals group as well, as a member of SCORE. We have the luxury of seeing her smiling face pretty much anywhere we go now at the Chamber. So happy to have her here. Care, thank you for being here, being our first guest. So thank you.
Thanks. Yeah, I'm excited. I was so stoked when you guys reached out, because I love everything that you guys do. We're obviously huge believers in the Central Connecticut Chambers of Commerce, and I love podcasting. So this is pretty awesome.
It was meant to be. So what's going on in your life right now? You walked in here saying you're tired. So what's going on?
Yeah, that I always say, I'm very transparent. So right now I am a little tired. We have just been go, nonstop. We just came out of the holiday season with Dusty Dude Woodworks, which is our custom wood shop here in Bristol. Slammed, jamming, awesome holiday season. Our gift shop just got, I don't even know the right word. I mean, it just got cleared. Everybody was so supportive, so wonderful. In our showroom and gift shop, we support up to 15 artisans in that space. So all of them really benefited from this great holiday season as well. On top of all the custom work that Eric, who is my husband and business partner, he is also just super talented and starting to come up for air a little bit on the wood shop side of things.
So rumor has it, Eric's not the Dusty Dude.
He's not. No, you are so right. So it's always something I love to clarify with people. Dusty Dude Woodworks, the name is based off of our oldest dog, Oreo. So Oreo, when we first started the business back in 2017, we were doing it out of Eric's friend's basement. And Oreo used to go, he's super fluffy pup, and he would go and he would roll around in the sawdust. And when you have like 8 names for a pet? And so one of his is Dude. We're like, oh, the Dude this, Dude that. And we went kind of like similar to what you guys are doing. We were brainstorming names. And we were like, oh, we want it to be based off of Oreo. But like Oreo Woodworks just sounds really strange. And so after probably even a couple beers at a local brewery, we came up with Dusty Dude Woodworks. So he is, in fact, the Dusty Dude. Eric is not the Dusty Dude.
My prediction was kind of right. But didn't I say that? Dude, that is like, what, it has to do something like maybe the dog just kind of roll around and sawdust or whatever like that. I was like, yes, I got it.
It's either that or you're a big fan of, what is it, the Big Lebowski?
Yeah, the Big Lebowski, the dude does. So I was like, could be that too.
I don't know. Yeah. But it's the creative juices when alcohol is flowing like...
Always. That's where really good ideas come from. Or either we always say the dog park, the brewery, or on a hike. So like we're always recording our conversations, which sounds really creepy. But we've found that that is the most beneficial thing for us to do when we're out at the dog park or hiking. We just put our phone on record and we just keep talking because that's when we're brainstorming and we just can't remember everything.
So I got to ask. So you're saying that, you know, the shop was just pretty much wiped clean for the holiday season. Is this your best season during the holiday, like best year so far, you guys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Between the custom orders that we received, so we were doing bar tap handles and charcuterie boards, between those smaller custom pieces, our gift shop was just slammed every Saturday. And we're open Fridays and Saturdays, but every Saturday, just constantly. And I mean, you guys know we're hidden. So for those of you who don't know, we work in a manufacturing building here in Bristol. You have to like give us a call or ring our doorbell to come inside. We have to let you in the building. It's not, you know, a super easy peasy type thing. And everybody just came. They came, they showed up, they supported local, and it was awesome.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's so cool. So, I mean, you're a full-time business owner now. Was that always the dream, or was that?
No. Oh my gosh. I always say this to my friends and my family. If I could go back to my high school guidance counselor and say, hey, look at this, they wouldn't believe you. They would never believe it in a million years. I was not the most perfect student. I had a really hard time memorizing things, and math is not my thing, which is probably why Eric is so great at math. but I never, and if I had known that I was going to be an entrepreneur and now kind of a serial entrepreneur, I probably would have tried some different courses when I was in college. But yeah, I use my degrees all the time. I have a degree in PR and a degree in event management and tourism. So I use them all day, every day. But yeah, never ever would have thought that.
It's weird. It's kind of organic. You know, you kind of think like, oh, if I can go back in time, maybe I would, you know, done this and done more of what I'm doing now. But you kind of wonder, like, if you go back to that and you start going to those business classes, mm-hmm. and like, then you kind of discover like, yeah, maybe it's not for me. Like, you know, this is kind of how it organically evolved, and you found that interest later on where it may have not interested you, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of interesting how it kind of progresses and how careers change and what you think you want to do when you're younger and what you end up doing. It's
so strange. I mean, so my wife graduated with a political science degree.
Oh, wow.
She's a CFO of a company.
Oh, my gosh.
So, like, you talk about two different things. Now, she grew up in, like, an accounting family, so she had some background, but... It's just crazy how things sort of... You never know your path. Like, you think you have things planned.
Yeah. And then... Yeah. I saw myself working in, like, a big corporate marketing PR type of world. Coca-Cola, like, big. And, you know, after I graduated college, I learned very quickly, you know, I was job hopping, mm-hmm. trying to find what was right for me. I worked at a newspaper. I loved that they had layoffs. I worked at Enterprise Rent-A-Car. I was number one in sales. For, you know, the 3 months I was there, I, you know, I was trying all these different things and none of them just felt quite right. And so when I was kind of, I wouldn't say forced because that's a very strong word, but when this opportunity fell into my lap to leave my full-time marketing job to go into the shop full-time with my husband, that was it. You know, it was like my salary was kind of carrying us to make sure that we were good with Dusty Dude before. And in a million years, we never would have thought that we both would be full-time in the business within, like, our first couple of years of really starting.
So I'm just kind of wondering, like, how challenging is it, like, working beside your spouse, right? Like, I have done it with mine, but it was, like, bartending, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Not like our life. This was our life's work. I'm sure it's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm sure it's great. But.
So it's funny because we get asked that a lot. From all sorts of different, you know, types of people in networking and stuff. And we genuinely love it. We have days where we definitely work totally separate. He stays in his lane, I'm in my lane, whether I'm on the road or I'm out at events with you guys. And he's in the shop heads down, or sometimes he'll pull me into the shop and he's like, I need you to help sand, finish, stain, whatever it is. But we literally wake up, work all day together, brainstorm ideas together when we're on, we never truly vacation. That's the truth. We're always working, but we love it. And so I have to genuinely say that I love working with him.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So it was on a vacation, right? That this new idea kind of came about. So
yes.
For those who don't know, Bristol, I'll let Kara talk about it, but I've heard the story, but if you want to share it with everyone else, how this idea kind of popped up.
Sure. So the Bristol Bazaar is our newest business venture here in downtown Bristol. And it did totally come to us while we were on a trip out west, pre-COVID world.
Was it a recorded conversation?
No, it wasn't, but I did get a tattoo.
Just in case you forgot.
Yeah. Just in case I forgot how much I love the space.
The bar ran out of napkins, so I just put it on my arm.
So, truth, it was designed on a napkin. I knew when we were traveling out there that I wanted to get a tattoo. It's very simplistic for anyone who's listening. It's just a bunch of really geometric mountains with a paper airplane. And the quote beneath it is truly what I loved. And it was on a piece of artwork in this space. And it says, I haven't been everywhere, but it's on my list. I never would have found that quote, I don't think, anywhere else. And in that specific time, it just really spoke to me. So we were out west, we're shopping around, and Eric and I have lived in this maker world for, you know, at that point, 2.5 years or so. So we're, you know, we were working, I think then we grew out of his friend's basement and moved into his parents' basement. So all the inventory we had for shows, everything we were doing, we had to like lug from their basement up the stairs, out into the cars. We had sedans at the time, so we were shoving our sedans full of like all of these custom displays that we had built out of ladders, and like we did all this upholstery, which I never would do again. It was worth a try. But when we were traveling, we saw this space and we truly just loved it. It was this big open space, very boho, beautiful, 10 by 10 spaces for those who are in the maker's world, which is your traditional type of vending space. But what we loved is that the makers didn't have to be present to sell their product. There's a centralized register literally right in the center of the room. Very, very cool concept. And we're like, wow, we feel like we would really, this would be a great next step for us. And then we realized very quickly that there's nothing like that back home. And so we kind of built this dream, you know, like all those what if conversations and for what's felt like years. And we added, you know, what's now being called the Bristol Bazaar, we've added in our own flair. So instead of this boho style, we've gone very Las Vegas meets Boston. So we've got brick pathways, we'll have turf, we're going to have building facades. Really cool lighting, beautiful murals, very vibrant, exciting, you know, creative. We added in, you know, a coffee cocktail lounge. So that will be there, which I'm so thrilled that my office will be like steps from that. And then we have our event space that's also going to be open to the public there. So it all kind of started from that trip out west.
thinking about the coffee right next door to your office. I mean, you get one of those like bank vacuum tunnel things.
Oh,
so you
yeah.
just start shooting the coffee over to your room and be like, I just need another check. But no, I remember we did the tour. You know, obviously there's still a lot of work to be done, but mm-hmm. just the layout and just seeing a vision and watching it explain everything, it looks like a really, really great looking space. And it's, I think a lot of people are going to have a really good time, you know, spending some time in there and doing various things like that too.
Thank you. Yeah, we're super excited.
Excited, yes. Nervous?
Absolutely. Absolutely. That my job for both businesses is marketing and sales. So, pressure's on. I absolutely love what I do. I always tell people when I'm talking to them, I said, you know, I love sales. I love marketing. When I believe in somebody or something, like it's really easy for me to talk about it. Like what Eric does, he builds beautiful pieces of furniture. Super easy for me to talk about that to the world and how he builds it from scratch and all that good stuff. And same for the bazaar. And again, I try really hard when I'm talking to these makers, particularly, or folks now are reaching out to us about hosting events in this space. I say, you know, I'm not a harsh or like in your face pushy salesperson. I am a, you know, is this a good fit for us? Is it a good fit for you? Like, it's an interview essentially on both sides because it has to work for everybody. But yeah, definitely the pressure's on. We're so excited. I think that kind of just outweighs it at some time. But we have, I think we're at like 53 or 54% booked, for our first 3 months. We have, one vendor who's booked for 18 months, another booked for 12 months, and then Dusty Dude will be there in perpetuity. But everybody else is like 2-3 months at a time, which is really cool.
That's very cool. Yeah. So what is, like, in your mind, like, what does success with this project look like, right? Is it like we have to be at 100%? Is it like, I'm sure that's the goal, right? You're right, but like.
So I think there's a couple ways to look at it. So there's, you know, the business side of things. Yes, our goal is to be booked at 100%, you know, 75 to 100% at any given time. But truthfully, what we're doing is really, or more so like the why. So my big thing is the why. Why are we doing what we're doing? And we're doing this because we wish that on the Dusty Dude side of things, that as makers, we had an in-between step. So we were just going, you know, Google was our best friend, still sometimes is our best friend. But, you know, we want to give our makers that opportunity to have their product out there, be in a space that is totally geared towards handmade products. So a lot of makers go out to food truck festivals or music festivals, and people are going, but they're not going with the intent to shop small. Yeah, sure. They're going with the intent to support the band or the food truck. And they're like, oh, this is cute. Like, I'll just kind of mosey on through. So we want to become that destination for people. And then in turn, that helps those side hustlers grow from side hustle to full hustle. So we offer not only the space for them and their rent, they have access to our think tank, which is our conference room space, so that they can meet with potential clients in a space that's not their garage or their basement or a Starbucks. And then we also offer networking once a month for our makers. And then we have a speaker series, which you guys are actually going to be a part of. So I'm so excited about that. But that'll be once a month. We'll have different speakers come in, talk to our, you know, collective essentially of makers, about different topics from podcasting to small business marketing, to the importance of being a part of your local chamber. Justin Malley is coming in from the city. So just really important things that, again, Eric and I wish we had access to without kind of hunting them down on our own.
So in a way, you can almost see this venture as almost a way to kind of give back.
Yes.
Right? You know, where, you know, you have had all this experience, you know, starting a side hustle and kind of progressing it and evolving it to what it is now with Dusty Dude. Now you can take what you've learned and experienced and kind of pass it on. And hope, and obviously have people have more success like you have with them as well.
Yeah. Our hope is for people to come grow with us and then be ready to be beyond us. You know, our goal isn't to hold on to everybody for forever. We're really there for that middle point. You know, maybe you need help with packaging. We have someone for you. Maybe you need help and you want to talk to someone in the mayor's office. We have someone for you. Or if you're not in Bristol, we can connect you through our network. Just giving those people the easy access points.
Bristol Bazaar, you're starting this, or even thinking back to when you made that leap to go to Dusty Dudes full time. Like, I'm thinking, like, I can picture my mom talking about you, like, what's family? What's people saying? They're like, you're nuts. You can't do this. Or are they like fully on board, or what's that?
So I have to say, my family has been very supportive from day one of even just Dusty Dude. That's how we started, was friends, family, but making that leap. I still to this day have many phone calls with my sisters, with my dad, you know, just talking through things, you know, am I crazy for thinking this? You know, should I pivot and go that way? I've had the conversations with family about going back into the workforce. And I think that a lot of people who are small business owners have that consideration at some point or another, and like those ebbs and flows. And when you're in that bottom part of that ebb, you're questioning a lot. And it's so scary. And I did. I went through the interview process, and I will never forget. And I don't think you guys even know this, but it was the night that we had the expo. And that day I had walked away from two job opportunities. And that night, I never felt more like where I should be than that. It was being with you guys. It was being with these other small business people. It's just, I knew that I made that right decision. And so for if anyone out there is listening and having those same thoughts, I hear you, I see you, like, I get it. You could always reach out.
See, it's breaking news here, right here. Right here. Right, I mean,
where's the button? Yeah. Wow, that's a great story. So are you in Connecticut? Are you from Connecticut?
I am.
You are. Why did I think you weren't?
I lived in Vermont. Yeah. So maybe. I lived in Vermont for like 8 or 9 years. So. He went south and lived in Florida for a while, and then we both met through Match when we both came back to Connecticut. So online dating.
The power of online
worked.
Dating. Look at that.
Worked.
What are you looking at as far as date timetable for this new thing to
We are hoping for March. We have not made a formal announcement, but that's what we're working towards right now. Late winter, early spring is really the goal. Our makers are ready to go. The cool thing is, the Dusty Dude side is that we got the approval for Eric to make all of the tables for the bazaar, the vendor carts, our conference table is going to be made by him. Like, there's going to be so much handcrafted in there from him. So now that lumber, that's all starting to come in. So that's going to be a really big focus for the next, month or so, is him producing all of those tables.
So shift gears a little bit.
Sure.
Right? I mean, what I'm kind of curious about, and I think other people would be too. So in these seemingly extremely small pockets of free time these days, what is it that Kara likes to do? I mean, what are you filling those?
What can you do in 5 minutes? Yeah.
10 minutes. You'd be surprised. You become very efficient. So if we're not working, we're usually trying to travel. So we love the national parks. We're big hikers. We love to camp. We spend a lot of time with, our family and our fur babies. So we have our 5 fur babies, 2 dogs and 3 cats. So it's not as many as it sounds like.
They're still fur, so they still can't.
I feel like I'm wearing them. And then if not, for me, if Eric and I kind of divide up and like he's doing his thing and I do my thing, just because we work together all the time, I do love some good trash TV. So I could binge watch probably with the best of them anything on Netflix.
So what's the last one you've binged?
Yellowstone. We just hit the last episode last night.
Don't do it.
I won't spoil.
Like halfway through season.
I didn't know there was a mid-season break.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
That's disappointing.
We were ready for the next episode at like 11 o'clock last night, and we were just like, no. Because we've been doing budget stuff for like 7 hours.
But you say trash TV. You're talking
like MTV.
Real Housewives? Like what are we?
The Hills or like Old School Laguna. Yeah. I will rewatch seasons. It drives Eric nuts. I will rewatch seasons and seasons of the things I've seen over and over again. And now there's podcasts associated with all those old shows.
Mm-hmm. My wife does the same exact thing.
Yeah.
She'll watch like the Housewives episode or whatever, and then there's a podcast that just recaps the episode.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
It's
the same thing. Yeah, my wife does the same thing. She went through Collective. She has all the Hills on DVD. She's got all the Laguna Beaches on DVD, so she went through them. Now she's listening to the podcast of America's Next Top Model, that sort of kind of thing.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, she's
that makes me feel better. I always feel like I'm rocking that solo.
No, you are definitely not. If you were the only one solo, they wouldn't be, all that cast wouldn't be where they were right now. So
they're
well off.
That's funny. All right, so you mentioned numerous times, like travel. So what's been your favorite place? What's the destination you want to go to?
I think my favorite place I've ever been to is Ireland. I've been there once in college, and then I took my dad for his 60th birthday. It was just him and I. Nice. I took him for 10 days. It was amazing. I have never experienced anything like that. And just to do that with him was so very special.
That's awesome.
With Eric, I think it would be a toss-up. So, we love, which is a very strange surprise to me, we love Vegas. I'm not a gambler. He likes to play cards. But, I love the people watching and food and the shows. Like, that's so my jam. And it's near a bunch of national parks.
Okay.
So that's how I really discovered my love for Vegas, was because I was forced into that one And that was right after I had my little finger thing happen with the shop. So,
yeah,
the
finger, you gotta explain.
Oh, the finger. So a couple days before our honeymoon, we were finishing up an order. We were, for a while, doing 400 cutting boards a month for a company based in Texas. That was how I was able to actually leave my job. I was then responsible for producing these boards for the next 6 months. And within the last, I think we had less than 100 boards left to finish. My finger got sucked into the routing table machine.
Oh, no.
Yes. So I had to go to the ER that night. It was a whole big thing. I wouldn't let Eric look at my finger because I was terrified that it was gone. And I was wearing a Dusty Dude hoodie when we got to the emergency room here in Bristol. And I was like, take my hoodie off, take my hoodie off. I was like, no one has to know that we're here. They can't know. Not like we're, you know, this whole big to-do. But I was like, how embarrassing. And so anyway, so they weren't able to do anything that night because too much of my finger was gone. So they just wrapped it really tightly. And then the next day we went back to the shop and I had to palm sand to get the rest of the boards out because our freight shipper was coming. We called in help. So I was palm sanding and however many boards we had left. And then we were stacking them, getting ready to go. And then we went hiking in all the national parks. But the doctor was like, if you get this dirty or it gets infected, like, it's gone. And so
just sanding.
Yeah, it's no problem. It's no problem. So that's the whole thing with my finger. So even to this day, it looks like a little gremlin finger. I don't have any feeling in like the top part of it, but I learned very quickly the respect of the machines.
Sure.
And as soon as I was able to get back into the shop, which was, you know, months after it all happened, that's the first machine I think I went back to, was just to make sure that I could do it again because I was so scared. Like the flashbacks were very real. You see it on TV, and I would be driving, and all of a sudden, I would be like reliving that moment. It was so crazy.
Sure. Yeah. No. I mean, I think there's truth to that, though, right? You gotta like face your fear, or get back on the horse, whatever.
Always. Yeah.
I busted up my knee skiing 5 years ago or something like that in Kenton, and I fell off the, you know, went off a little side trail hop. Got my ski tips got caught.
I fell off the chair.
I know.
I wouldn't be sitting here if I fell off the chair. But so I was coming over the side. There's a little gully or whatever. So I tried to hop over it. It ski tips went in the side, fell over, and you know, I ended up getting like a tibial toe fracture and everything like that. But it was on an easy trail, and it was like, oh my god, whatever. And so I went back a couple years later, and I was like, all right, I gotta go back to where
see
I happened,
the crime.
Just to kind of work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it takes that emotion out of you. But
yeah.
You gotta do it. So Andrew's got a couple questions.
Oh, yeah.
These are the tough ones.
I don't have an official name for this. This is our rapid fire 6 questions, just hot topics, like controversial items.
Oh, gosh.
All right. So we need to know. All right. We need to know. So we'll start it off easy and we'll kind of go, you know, kind of gets progressively a little bit harder.
Okay.
All right. All right. All right. So first off, your favorite season out of all four?
Winter.
Nice. That's,
yeah, I lived in Vermont for so long. I love snow.
Can you hike in the winter?
Yeah.
All right, never mind.
Come on, it's all about the winter, right? You can always add on layers of clothes to keep warm.
Always.
There's only so many clothes you can take off before you keep cold.
Bingo.
Exactly. So, yes. You know. So we went to Netflix. What's your favorite movie? Like, growing up anytime.
Oh, man. If my sisters are listening, they would laugh so hard. So growing up, and still, I still love it to this day, is Newsies. It is old school Disney musical, Christian Bale.
I know exactly what you're talking about. I don't know if I've actually seen the whole thing.
Oh, it's good.
Little dancing, little things.
Yeah. Talks about the news and the media, you know, a little historical.
All right.
Yeah.
Nice, very cool.
So lame. I'm such a nerd.
Twist. Yeah.
It's all right. Hey, that's what it's here for, right? All right. So I don't know if you're a fan. I'm a huge fan of roller coasters.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Best seat on a roller coaster ride, front or back?
Oh, that's so tough. So I always do one ride in each.
So you should know.
I'm going to go back because I like that it whips you up. especially on the older, like if you're at compounds and you happen to ride the Wildcat and you need like a good back cracking.
Back cracking on the wood roller.
Oh my god. Yeah. So yeah, I would have to go with back.
The back, I do agree.
You know, yeah.
Especially go up, if you've been to Six Flags up in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah.
You go to Superman Coaster. If you get the back, that little last, you're the last car to go over that top hill, so you get that little extra moment right there that whips you right over.
I haven't been on a roller coaster in years.
Hey,
We went to, I was probably like in my 20s. We went to Virginia Beach, and then we went to like Busch Gardens.
All fun.
You were saying, right? Except it's not necessarily what I feel. Like, we didn't necessarily know it was like an amusement park. I don't know what we were thinking it was, but the only ride we took, because my wife, again, she's scared of roller coasters, apparently, was we rode the chairlift from one end to the other. That's literally it. They're like painted pottery.
Oh my gosh.
Get back in the car. Let's go.
That's awesome. Yeah. No, I mean, it's definitely, you know, if you ever been to Cedar Point, that's where you
went
go.
And we camped. We did a road trip, yes. Eric and I, a couple of years ago, out to Ohio. We camped at a campground because it was cheaper than a hotel. And we stayed, it was like some big open field that was behind like a big hotel or something. It was so much fun. We slept, we cooked our own breakfast over the fire, then we went and rode roller coasters all day, and then we came back and had drinks by the fire. It was so nice.
Yeah, because I drove 10 hours just to go to Cedar Point and ride roller coaster for 2 days and I came home.
Yeah.
That's
it's so right. worth it. I would go back okay. again and do it. So good.
Awesome. All right. So next. So when you're making a peanut butter jelly sandwich, are you a peanut butter first person or jelly?
Peanut butter. I just did it last night for dinner.
Okay, you have
solid.
To, right?
Yeah,
why people put jelly?
Because you can't clean. You have to clean the knife.
Unless you're doing, like, you put it on one piece, one on one piece, yes. Of bread on the other. Oh, you do.
I do, because so then I can clean the peanut butter knife and then put the jelly on it. Mm. So I only use one knife. Yeah, and I do extra peanut butter.
Okay. Yeah. You need the peanut butter as the layer, so the jelly doesn't soak up the bread, right? Yeah.
Or if you do a triple decker. Sometimes in our house, we're like triple decker PBJs.
Oh.
That's when you're feeling like extra fancy.
That's for dinner.
If you're having a really late night dinner. Mm-hmm. That
awesome. Very cool. All right. Hot dogs, ketchup or mustard?
I do or and.
I mean, if it's and or, what do you prefer? I mean, there's people that are thinking sacrilegious if you put ketchup on a hot dog. So,
oh, I
mean,
no, I do both.
Answer. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely both. I can't not.
Anything else going on there? Mustard?
Relish.
Relish,
100%.
Okay.
And then ketchup, mustard. I mean, yeah, and a toasted bun, if you got access to that.
Nice. Well, yeah, I mean, it's kind of an extra adds that little extra texture.
Oh yeah, yeah, a little crunch.
Okay, so final question. I think I'm gonna vote this as the open poll question for any listeners out there.
You can't see it. He folded up his paper real soon.
Yeah,
it's all serious.
This is legit.
This is legit.
I'm like ready.
So this question will open up to anyone listening out there who want to submit a comment. We'll set up either on Facebook or an email or whatever. We'll get it out there. Follow our the Central Connecticut Chambers of Commerce page for those details. Final question. Pineapple on a pizza, yay or nay?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep. Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Very cool.
Easy peasy. Sold. That makes it healthy.
Yeah, like I said, there's people out there that are dead set against it.
Oh, yes.
There's people right outside this door.
Yeah. We'll name any names.
There's a lot of pizzas over in that other room. Was there pineapple on there?
That's what we told them.
I said that's the only thing we got. We just got the Hawaiian pizza. That's all we're going to get. So, but yeah, some people, pizza's like one of those sensitive issues, especially up in the Northeast and Connecticut. Like, it's either one side or the other. There's no meat. My personal opinion, you can put anything on a pizza.
So, have you done Chinitza? That's the question.
I have done Chinitza? No, I have not. What is it, like a lo mein on a pizza?
You could make it anything you want, but sometimes we'll do General Tso and you could put a little lo mein on there. Delicious. Two into one. It's amazing.
Mind blown, yeah.
Small business hack.
Chinese. Yeah, how did this happen? Yeah.
Well, wait, so once Bristol Bazaar's done, we do my
next level. Business three.
Right, there you go.
The Tear, thank you so much for being here. This is so much fun. Just a reminder to everyone that we have some exciting events coming up, including our first ever chamber bowling tournament.
Yes.
On March 16th.
I'm so excited.
At Everything Expo, where we're kind of combining our health fair, career fair, and business expo now into one convenient event that takes place a little later in March, March 28th. You can learn about all these events and really all that's going on with the chamber online, centralctchambers.org. And please subscribe to the show. We'll be out there pretty much anywhere you get your podcast, Apple, Google, Spotify, our website, Facebook. So please give us a subscribe. And we'll talk soon. Thanks so much.
Thank you.